Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast, the what's going on in sports edition of the pod. Hey Bob, how you doing?
Hi Matt, nothing to see here. I feel like it should be the summer edition because today is the first day of summer.
Is it actually the official first day of summer?
The official first day.
Wait, so then it's not the longest day of the year because that's you, or maybe
it is. The summer equinox, it is today.
Oh, because I always thought it was on the day of the Normandy invasion, because the movie, The Longest Day, they chose to go on the day that had, you know, the shortest night. And
maybe that was the first day of summer. Yeah, whatever. I don't know.
Whatever.
Matt, what do I know, okay? Yeah. I'm thinking about Kawhi. Don't give me any puzzles. Although I do think today is the first day in a long time. We should probably lead with the Leafs.
Sure,
we do. You want to do Leafs or Raptors first? Which do you prefer?
Let's do Leafs.
Yeah, we haven't talked Leafers in a while.
Yeah, let's get to the Maple Leafs. I got one sort of different sort of take on everything with Dubas, and we'll get there. We'll get to Dubas and Marner and Kapanen and Janssen and Marlowe and anyway, you know what the big problem with the Maple Leafs is?
No.
Or one of them? It's not their cap issues. It's that the teams around them in the East that are really good have great contracts. And I won't give all the numbers. I'll just say Krejci, Bergeron, Pasternak, Marchand. Their only big RFA in Boston is Charlie McAvoy. In Tampa, Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman, Tyler Johnson. The Braden Point RFA, that's going to be a big one. But they just lost Ryan Callahan. His $5.8 million comes off the books. Pittsburgh. Malkin, Crosby, Kessel, Letang, Islanders, Eberle, Bailey, Nelson, and their RFA.
Barzal?
Yeah, Barzal. That's next year. But you look up and down, all these rosters, these are all really good contracts. None of them that I said out loud is more than $9.5 million, and that's for Kucherov. You know, Crosby's going to make $8.7 million for the next 6 years. Do you think Kyle Dubas looks at Jim Rutherford and goes, bleep that guy, bleep him right in his bleep hole?
Okay, so let me take these in reverse order now.
Sure.
The Crosby deal is not as great as everyone thinks it is, because at the time he signed for about 17%.
Of course.
It just looks better now.
Yeah.
And, he's still good.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, like...
And that will be true of the contracts that get signed now.
Yes.
In 5 years down the road.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that Pittsburgh was this mastermind genius team. I'm just saying that today, on June 21st, 2019, their contract situation, their cap situation is brilliant.
You brought up Marchand, and that's an awful good one.
6.125 for the next 6 years.
It's pretty amazing. And he's just sub-MVP quality.
Yeah.
He's certainly the MVP of that team and probably the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if he's as good as Connor McDavid. You know, he's up there with Kucherov. Anyway, point is, great. And if you're Kyle Dubas, you look at that and say, okay, well, this amazingly effective winger is going to make $5 million less than my winger?
Yeah.
And it's going to be for the same period of time?
Yeah.
How does that work?
That's the problem.
That is the problem.
Like, you know, because, listen, Winnipeg is dealing with cap issues, why they had to trade Trouba, and eventually this is going to come up. But as of right now, that's the biggest problem, is that all the other great teams in the East have great cap situations, and the Maple Leafs don't, just because of time, because of Martin Matthews and Nylander are all coming up at the same time.
That is true, but you could also argue that the Leafs have a benefit in that they have Kadri at a really good number.
Yep.
They have Riley at a really good number. Mm-hmm. You can make the case that Anderson is a very good number.
They are.
So you could include the Leafs in that situation if you wanted to.
I won't, because they're not, because they're going to...
But they do have good contracts on the books, and they're trying to get rid of bad Lou Lamoriello contracts,
yes,
which is hard and will probably cost them,
yes,
in terms of young talent, but...
They're going to have to get rid of picks or some prospects. Oh, yeah.
Just to sweeten up a deal for anybody who wants to take on a Marlowe or a Zaitsev. Anyway, my point is, I don't think the Leafs are terrible. It's just, as you say, bad luck this particular year.
Yes. And no, right now they are in some trouble, especially because...
Well, not for the next 5 years.
Well, I'm not talking about the next 5 years. I'm talking about today, and I'm talking about this year coming up, where they're going to have, you know, so many guys making between $10.5 and $11 million. That'll be fine 6 years from now, You know, but we're not 6 years from now. And the cap's not going up as much as we expect. The Leafs are on the tip of the spear of this whole RFA, younger guys getting paid more money because they're ready to dominate at a younger age.
Okay, so I want to put a pin in something and come back to it because this is your take is a good one. And it's smart to, you know, because the comparables across the Eastern Conference, I mean, that's who you're comparing against. So yeah. You're smart to go there. I got a point I want to make, but I want to come back to it.
Sure.
Because one of the things I find hard in discussing the Marner contract is no one can commit to what a comparable looks like.
Well, he can.
Right?
His is Matthews.
Exactly.
His is not Nikita Kucherov. No. His is Matthews.
Okay, so Kucherov wins the Hart.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
It's a pretty good player.
Right?
Yeah.
But he's making about $2 million less than Matthews does.
Yeah.
Would you like him to be as good as Nikita Kucherov, Mitch Marner? I would.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So 9.5, hooray. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Not Kerner's dad or Darren Ferris.
Right. And then you mentioned Brad Marchand at like just a little over $6 million.
Yeah.
Johnny Gaudreau, a little over $6
million. Mm-hmm.
Or Mark Stone at 9.5. Mm. I just find that no matter what point you want to make, there is a comparable to back you up.
Yeah.
Because it's all over the board.
Yeah.
You almost wish it was like the MLB draft, where just wherever you get picked, here's the number that's slotted in at that pick.
But it's the MLB draft. The great thing is, so you draft this guy in the first round. Where is he? Well, we never signed him. So another team drafted him the next year because he went back to Stanford.
Was the guy's name Tyler Beattie? Was that the guy from the Jays they didn't sign?
It's the weirdest thing. We drafted a guy. Did he play for you? No. Where is he? He's in Stanford right now. What? What's going on?
Quick sidebar. MLS has it absolutely right. Call your draft the super draft.
Ooh, that is
just
true.
Just love that.
Ah.
Okay, so back to... I just find it fascinating to have this Marner conversation because no matter who you talk to, smart, dumb, Twitter, on the street, wherever, there's a comparable for your point.
Yeah.
And you're probably right or probably wrong, depending on how you look at it. I find, for me, the best comparable is Kucherov.
Yeah.
That's the one that makes sense to me. They're wingers. He's obviously an excellent player.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tampa Bay can get him for 9.5, and that's the team you have to compete against, then you got to land it in that area. If you go way over that, then you're putting the team in a stressed position cap-wise.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are going to be in a stressed position. They might actually take a step back next year just strictly because of the cap. Nothing to do with the great work done by Lamoriello before or Dubas now and all the scouts.
Let's not say the great work done by Lamoriello.
I'm sorry. If you want me, well, you mentioned Morgan Rielly and Kadri. Those were Lamoriello. I think the problem now is people get so sensitive about how much they love Lamoriello, how much they love Dubas, and people get sensitive about how old school media, all they do is praise Lou Lamoriello. That's not me. That's not my corner.
Yeah, I don't really feel like that either, but I also feel like people go out of their way to defend him.
He signed a
terrible deal with Nikita Zaitsev for 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
Literally inexplicable.
Horrible deal.
Horrible deal. Patrick Marleau for the extra year at $6 million bucks.
Horrible.
Right. So
who's defending?
I said Lamoriello's bad deals. I didn't say he was a bad GM.
Yeah.
Every GM makes bad deals.
Of course
every
they
GM
do.
Makes good deals.
Never said otherwise, but I said, you know, the great work done by Lamoriello and Dubas, and it's like, well, it's not. I don't have an agenda on either pro or anti.
But I don't either.
Guys.
You talked about the challenges they face this year, and the challenges they face this year are exacerbated by some of Lamoriello's decisions past.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right. So, calm down there, Mr. Lamoriello defender.
I get so tired of just the people that are in one corner. They're so pro Dubas, or they're so pro Lamoriello, or they're so anti one, or they're so anti another. I'm tired of all y'all.
Well, I think that. What also people, your point's a good one. And I tend to agree with you because people can't look at someone's legacy objective because they're defending ideological camps.
Exactly.
Right. And I know you have an inherent sort of almost allergy to ideological, pontificating.
It's the worst.
It's easy.
It is easy.
It's easy. You always know what to think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, no matter what fact someone presents,
there's another way around it.
Anyway, I want to come back to this because you mentioned something I think is absolutely the key to the next couple of weeks for the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
Two things, actually, but I'll start with this. One is, do we need them to be better next year? Let me explain. If you talk to people, they're on the cusp of doing great things.
Yeah.
And they probably should have gone farther this year. They ran into Boston, who was obviously really good, and it was so close. And it was
They were up 3-2.
You can make so many arguments for why they should have had a deep playoff run.
Oh.
And they're all right. But here's my question. What's more important, winning a cup next year or winning a cup?
Well, after this Raptors run, you can just say winning a cup next year. Don't worry about Kawhi's future. Don't worry if Masai goes to Washington. Look what we got. Look what we got. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. Man, that was fun.
Right. The point, though, is that I'm glad you brought this up because the Raptors and the Leafs situations are very different.
Yeah.
In that the Raptors actually played the long game when you think about it. They ran with Kyle and DeMar as long as they could, and then they blew it up.
Yeah.
And I would say to the fans of the Leafs, if you can't envision a future without Marner, Raptors fans couldn't envision a future without DeMar.
Yep.
DeMar's legacy was spottier than Marner's.
Yeah.
100%. And there wasn't the same book on him that you couldn't win with him. So it is different. But from an emotional loyalty standpoint, don't fall in love with your team too much until they're holding the cup. Because they're all assets. Like, if you could turn Marner into a right defenseman, like a Matthias Ekholm or whoever.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and have tons of cap space left over and get more good players because maybe that's the team that wins. They're all assets until you win a cup.
It's true. It's a good point. If you lost Marner for a legit number one defense, but also save money, then use that money to be able to make sure you could keep Kapanen, Johnsson, and maybe bring back Jake Gardner, you know, then yeah, you're like, just the big picture point is a good one. Don't fully fall in love. I was talking with Steve Simmons yesterday, name drop, and
thud as the name hits the ground.
And he said the one issue with the Leafs that's different than, say, the Blackhawks is when Kane and Taves got all that money, rightfully so, it was after they had held a cup over their head. Matthews, Marner, and Nylander, super talented players. Other teams would have paid that for those guys. They get compensated, and yet they've not yet got out of the first round.
They haven't proven anything.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that they could.
Yeah.
We believe that they will.
Yeah.
And maybe even that they should have by now.
Yeah, but they haven't.
But they haven't.
Yeah.
So don't fall in love. In that regard, I kind of see that. Like, I look at this as the same as the Raptors team. Now, the Leafs, comparatively, I think, are more objectively talented right now than the Raptors were when Masai blew it up to go get Kawhi.
Yeah.
He also had like a freak once-in-a-lifetime Halley's Comet kind of superstar with the 9 games the season previous.
Yeah, everything worked perfectly. There was luck there, but Masai jumped on it. And yes, it's an imperfect comparison because, once again, one player in basketball does a lot more disproportionately to affect a team's winning or losing than it does in the NHL. We know that.
Wow, that was really good.
Thank you.
Wow. Is it because you've said it so many times or you're just that good?
It's come up in the past.
It's a great question, though. I heard Jonah Siegel on the Myrtle and Siegel podcast on The Athletic.
They were testy.
Well,
they're a little testy. Like, Myrtle's like, Jonas, what are you talking about? Like, they had some testy moments. It was good.
What I thought was interesting about it, though, was it very clearly delineated the two ways of looking at building an NHL roster. Jonas kind of has a...
Stars. Don't worry about everyone else.
Yeah. Best players and figure all the rest out later. Whereas Myrtle was sort of like, well, but maybe you need some balance throughout the lineup.
Yeah.
I tend to be on the Myrtle side of things. I do think you need balance through the lineup.
You look at the St. Louis Blues.
And the Bruins.
Yeah.
And how important the deals for Charlie Coyle and Johansson were at the end of the season.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like the ability to roll out good lines. I don't know the answer. Because maybe we're entering a new phase of the NHL that is going to be star heavy and top heavy, dictated by what the CBA will allow teams to do.
And that's the point. We are entering that. And here's the thing. You know what's like? You know so many of the teams that wish they had the Leafs roster, you know, because of the Leafs just plethora of young talent. The one advantage they have, they don't have stars to pay. So they're on the sidelines and they're watching who are the teams in the center of this black hole of change that's going on. Who's at the tip of the spear? The number one team is the Maple Leafs. They signed Nylander on December 1st. They signed Matthews in early to mid-February. And now they're dealing with Marner. That's 3 top-end RFAs in the course of 7 months in an era now where younger players are ready to dominate and they get paid more. The Leafs are, like, all the change that's going on, the Leafs are in the middle of it. They're Bill Paxton, you know, in Twister. While all these other bad teams, they're the dude from Princess Bride in his black trucks watching the Twister, and they can just analyze what happens. they don't have to be in the middle of it. So that's the advantage those teams have.
Is it Kerry Elwes?
Yes, Kerry Elwes. Thank you.
Right. The blonde guy.
Yeah, the blonde guy. Shame on me for not getting that right. Like that's
girls loved that guy.
Oh,
did they ever?
How could you not?
Yeah, you know.
As you wish. And I'm pointing down.
it's a great point. It's a great point you make, because maybe the next phase, we don't know what's going to work because we're in the middle of a change.
Yeah.
And sure, the Blues one, I don't know. Could have been the Sharks. Could have been the Bruins. I don't know. We've said this so many times.
Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly, the best player in the playoffs.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, before that was Nathan MacKinnon. And so I don't know. And I don't think anybody knows. I think you just want to be one of those top five or six teams and just have a really good chance to win.
Yeah.
The rest is just frozen rubber on a sheet of ice. And
You
hope it rules your way. But in terms of getting yourself to a point where you can win over and over and over again, part of me says, you do that with the best players because everyone else is going to become so interchangeable that because we're going to become so top heavy right across the board, you know, what we used to think of as, oh, you're going to have four scoring lines. Maybe that's not true.
Yeah.
Maybe you just load up on two amazing lines, run them to death, and just hope that your bottom six forwards don't stink.
Yeah. Just, you know, Hodor it if you're the bottom ones.
Yeah, and Hodor.
And then let the top ones. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. That's one conceivable scenario. One? But you look at the playoffs this year, and the teams that had balance did really well.
No team with two players with $10 million contract.
Right.
Again, that will change. But
it will change. But is it going to change within the Leafs window?
Krejci, Bergeron, Pastrnak, Marchand. The highest contract, $7.25 million.
San Jose is another good example. I mean, now they have that massive Carlson contract.
Yeah, but that'll change things.
Right, but up till this year, everybody, I think, was under nine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the number. So I don't know what you do if you're Dubas, because you make a great point, Maddie. Things are changing, and we don't know what side of history the Leafs are going to be on.
Yeah, because we're in the middle of history.
You're in the middle of
it.
You just
can't
know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, some of these crappy teams... You know, once there's the full market correction and we have a better idea, like the blueprint is being written, and unfortunately, the color of ink often cases is blue. And the Maple Leafs, they're right now at that pen getting written all over the place.
So this is why I think that if Mitch Marner gets offer sheeted, and it is for the top category, that the Leafs don't match and take all those first rounders and go to town.
Yeah.
And here's why. In the world that we've described, I think there's one thing that is bedrock certain. The most valuable thing to have is a contributor on their entry-level contract.
Yep.
We've said this many times, but it's just so clear in this scenario that if it's going to become harder and harder to develop and hang on to players, then the real churn is not going to be through free agency with veterans. That's just going to populate your bottom six, probably. The real churn is going to happen. The driving engine is going to be, who can I get who is young and contributing and cheap?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, the good teams draft, develop. The desperate teams slum it in free agency.
Right. And although, interestingly, in basketball, probably you can only build through free agency. But anyway, that's another story.
Another sport.
So for the right now, maybe those draft picks are more valuable because you can just go out and you can also package them up for players.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing.
Go get yourself an Panarin.
Sure. If that's what it is. Or go get yourself a Colin Miller. You know, somebody who's going to be a contributor, but not necessarily great, but certainly productive. I think back to that the early 90s team, the 92 team with the Leafs, you know, and who were the defensemen? Like, they were all kind of like these interchangeable, not faceless, but no stars, you know, like Sylvain Lefebvre and Jamie McCown and just like, good times.
Dave Allett.
Good times.
See, when I think of those teams...
And our buddy, Rick Natras.
Yeah. But when I think of those teams, I either think of OTR guests or EA Sports at NHL hockey, you know, and just playing with those Leaf teams from
Matthews
early
on
90s.
The cover.
Yeah, he is.
So here's the other thing I want to mention to you.
Yeah.
If Marner holds fast at $11 million,
yep,
and they pay it to him, is he facing the same kind of backlash that Nylander faces if he doesn't feel like an $11 million player next year?
Not to the same extent, just because of how productive... Like, Marner's never had a dip in productivity. The only way that there's any sort of backlashes if he doesn't produce, and that they and the Leafs lose significant other assets. That's it. I've like, you know, I don't buy as much as the whole, well, everyone likes Marner because he's from here. Well, first, so many human beings in every country, they always root a little bit harder for the guys that are here. Why do you think in the NBA draft we're talking about all the Canadians that were drafted? You know, there's sort of a sense of ownership. But I think it's more just about production.
Yeah, you would trade them in a heartbeat, you know, the Montgomery Burns. I would give it all up for just a little more.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care where they're from.
No.
Because anybody can hold up the Stanley Cup.
Of course. I mean, I get why fans are like, hey, that guy's from my town. I get that sort of sense of ownership and how it creates a little endorphin rush and you feel a little bit neat. But all those fans, if you said, hey, Johnny Toronto's over here, but evil Russia guy will score 10 more goals, who are you going to take? We'd always take evil Russia guy.
One of the funny things is we have so much media in Toronto and the fans love the team so much.
I'm glad we have a lot of media in Toronto. I don't have many other skills.
That's true. Tell me about it. I know about this. We have a tendency to overrate and underrate our talent the way almost everybody does in the market because you just have that sort of proximity bias.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good RFAs out there. Mm-hmm. You know, Rantanen, Point, you know, McAvoy, as you mentioned. There's a lot of guys who are very important for their team's success. It's not like Mitch Marner. You know, Mitch Marner's not Gretzky, guys.
Yeah.
And he's not Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Okay. He's really, really good.
Yeah.
He's excellent. Mm-hmm. He will probably be an excellent player for the duration of his career. Guess what he's not? He's not Gretzky. He's not Lemieux. The team does not die if they don't have him. They got Matthews and Tavares down the middle. They got Kadri on a great number. They got Morgan Riley, who was fifth in Norris voting. They have a lot of top-end talent.
Anderson was great. Nylander, as a 20 and 21-year-old, put up numbers that has only been done by the most elite players or all-star players in the NHL.
The signs suggest that the Nylander deal will prove to be much more beneficial then it will be negative for the team.
Yeah.
So I don't know how good he's going to be, but I do know he's not going to be the guy he was last year.
Yeah, exactly.
That was an anomaly. So I almost feel like the idea that it has to be a certain way, because it's already been this way. How could it end? Who gives a shit if it ends? It's about winning a championship. Yeah. This is what Masai Ujiri taught me, because you and I sat here depressed that DeMar DeRozan was on his way to San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to root for the team anymore.
Well, you know, we were never there. We were just bummed out because we loved DeMar DeRozan.
And objectively, but we
knew Kawhi Leonard was a huge upgrade.
Right. You and I said, we know this is the right thing to do, but it feels terrible.
Yeah.
Apply that thinking to whatever happens with Mitch Marner.
Mm-hmm.
He's not worth $11 million plus.
Yep.
He's not.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not if you can get 4 first-rounders for him or turn it into a bunch of young assets that are going to be cheap. Like, what if you had Ekholm on the blue line at under $4 million contributing and anchoring because, you know, Jake Muzzin's going to be gone in the future? Like, there are a lot of things you could get for a Mitch Marner. So let go of the idea that it has to be one way.
Yeah.
It only has to lead to a championship.
You're 100% right. This point is so good. I'm thinking, do I steal this on the show today? But I will, as I always do. I'll always give you credit. You're right. And Kyle Dubas sort of echoed what you said when he talked yesterday. He's like, you know, we're prepared for every option. And, you know, if it has to be an offer sheet and if he can't, then, you know, we're ready for that possibility as well. You know, Kyle Dubas said that yesterday about Marner, saying basically your point, there isn't one way. There's more than one way to get to a championship.
The only thing that would suck is if you lost him for nothing.
Yeah.
If he was like a UFA and you didn't sign him and you couldn't get anything back. But the CBA has provided for that.
Yes.
In that if they offer sheet him, you get young picks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to sit. I don't think we're looking at another Nylander situation. They'll trade him.
Yeah.
They're not going to go back at that route. And you're going to trade him for really good stuff.
I would like to see Marner go full Andy Kaufman and say he only wants to play in the KHL. Like, just as a social experiment for a year.
Well, like the indie wrestling circuit for Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
He just goes and plays in the KHL.
Just goes and wrestles women.
Does an HBO special.
Like, just the whole, like, just, but like.
Just wrestles. Marner doesn't go and wrestle bears.
Yeah. But like, really, you know what? Piss everyone off. Piss off, you know, the hardcore sports fans. And then also he wants to do it because for the glory of Putin, which would then piss off another huge group, rightfully so. You know, I mean, if you're Marner, if you want to be a heel, go full heel. Say you want your job next year is to get Putin as many goals as he can.
You know what's one thing I think we don't talk enough about in this conversation is how good is Austin Matthews going to be?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we've seen him at his best yet. It's not the tip of the iceberg. He's further along the road than that.
Yeah.
But I do think there's another gear of his greatness to kick in.
Oh, yeah.
And it might start now. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be because Marner's on the ice. You know, it's going to be really important to surround him with the kind of talent, you know, specifically Nylander on the wing would be nice, but whoever it is, somebody who can maximize the fact that Marner's never going to be the best player in the league. Matthews might.
Yeah.
I don't think he is. He'll be maybe top two or three or whatever, but yeah. But like he's that guy. I don't think Marner is. Not playing wing.
No. I still think, you know, if I have to choose Marner or Matthews, I'm choosing Matthews.
Who has a better chance in your mind, if we're going to use Matthews as a comparable to Marner, who has a better chance of challenging Connor McDavid as the best player in the league?
It's Austin Matthews.
It's not even close. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. In terms of how much impact you can have on a single game, defensively, all that, you know.
My only pushback, and now we're going to do the adjective quibble, which is awesome in sports.
good radio.
I said he's good. I didn't say he's really good. Shut up, Steve. Welcome back here to Gavin and Steve. Summer's coming. Give Marner credit for this. Gavin makes some good points, though. I like his show. Listen to his podcast. Is that Marner is really good defensively. And, you know, I think that puts him a little bit closer to Matthews. But, yes, if you ask me Matthews or Marner, I don't hesitate. I will say Matthews. Marner, you know, Marner could be a top 10 player. Matthews could be a top 3.
None of this is insulting Marner.
No, none of this is.
Who to this point has been more fun to watch and more productive than Austin Matthews.
More reliable as well.
100%. Everyone has looked good. Everyone's been good next to him.
Yep.
You can't say the same of Austin Matthews. Although I think that's a fair statement. I'm going to stick with that.
Matthews has sometimes been saddled with a lot more of a rotation of players. At least, you know, every day Marner knew he had Tavares there at center.
I was going to say that, and also previous to that, Bozak and JVR. But still, that's better with JVR there.
Marner having Tavares, it cannot be overstated enough. Marner having Tavares there at center was mutually beneficial. More so than Matthews going, thank God I got Hyman. And it's nothing against Zach.
Yeah.
No, maybe it's a little against Zach. I mean, let's be honest.
So with all of this stuff with Dubas, it's going to be really hard for him to win because whatever he does is going to piss people off. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really hard for him to lose because he has a ton of good options in front of him. And time will only tell if he chooses the right path.
Yeah.
But we won't know right away. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a classic. You're going to have to wait 2 years and see how it plays out.
Yep.
Even if Marner is not a Leaf next year, and he has a 100-point season somewhere else, it doesn't matter because you are going for a cup, and until the Leafs win one or don't, we won't know.
Yep. It's a great point. I loved your point just about Marner and how you compared with Kawhi, and you know, you can't fully fall in love, and that, you know, there is not one route to a championship. So don't think if they don't sign Marner, then that's it, they're doomed, pack it in. That's an insult to all the other talent, the young talent on this team. It's a great point by you.
And it's not Kawhi either, where if he leaves, you don't get anything coming back.
Yeah. Like
the Raptors will go, if Kawhi leaves, from a championship team to a team that is somewhere from the middle to the top of the pack in the Eastern Conference.
Yes.
Depending on how the young players, particularly OG,
develop. And Anobi. Ooh, that's a topic for another day, is OG and Anobi.
Right.
I want to get to a tweet you sent about the Blue Jays.
Oh, okay. I don't even remember it.
I absolutely loved it. But before that, speaking of things I love our lawyer. He's Jeff Pollock. JeffPollock.com is the website. That's Jeff with a G, as in, gee, I wish I had a good lawyer. Well, guess what? Now you do. If you call 416-777-0088. That's horrible. 416-777-0088. This is not like some read of some guy we've never met. This is a guy who has legitimately impacted our life, and he's made our lives better and easier. JeffPollock.com for all your lawyerly needs, litigation, states, trusts, wills, whatever. He's our lawyer. He should be yours. He's a great sponsor on this show.
And I'm going to go buy cheese today based on his recommendations. Is there such a thing as a fromagier? Like if you're a sommelier? Yeah,
there is a fromagier.
Yeah? Can you be like a cheese person?
Oh, yeah.
Like, talks about bouquet and terroir and cow udders and whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, you could with terroirs 100%. And by the way, if you actually did it by, like, you know, price per gram. I'd say cheese is more expensive than a lot of wines out there. Cheese ain't cheap, Bob.
And I can't eat it because of my naturopath appointment.
Oh, we're going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
We'll do that next. But the first thing I want to say, I thought this is a great tweet by you. I'm going to paraphrase. After what we've seen with the Raptors and the pace of play and the stress and the pressure, I look forward to the slow, meandering style of baseball. And then someone wrote back something like, baseball's boring, nothing happens. And you wrote, oh no, they just wrote meh. And you wrote exactly. After everything for the Raptors, yeah, we need a lazy fourth inning just to relax.
All right, so remember in your 20s, everybody has one, but you dated that girl that was super fun and absolutely destroyed your life.
Yes.
And you may trade that experience in, you might not, but you'll certainly never forget it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was a bit like the Raptors emotion, where you wake up every day and say, I don't know if I'm going to sleep in a dumpster tonight.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you meet that person, and it's not a knock against them. You love them, but they're baseball.
Yeah.
And I can just settle in, and it's nine innings, and I don't have to panic every day. There's 162 games.
Yep.
And I'm just going to find my rhythm.
And guess what? If they lose, all right, well, They're playing in 12
There's
hours.
There's one more tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, they got a doubleheader. It's okay.
Right? And it's populated with spikes and playoff runs, and it's populated with down years, but in the end, it endures.
Yeah. At the very least, watch Vlad and Biggio, and you'll be fine.
Your girlfriend, Amy, is listening to this conversation. She's so upset saying, I don't want to be baseball.
We're not baseball. We're somewhere. We're not the Raptors playoff run. We don't want to be that. We've been together for 12 years. Okay, we'd be dead. Okay, like Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton, you know, had sex in a limo on a way to an event and had blood, had little
vials of blood, each other's blood around their necks.
Guess what? They're not together anymore, and they don't exactly look back at those days fondly.
Yeah, I don't think they're sharing Christmas cards.
Yeah, exactly.
I, at the height of my craziness, woke up on a park bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel good about that. I'm not sad that it happened, but I'm glad it's over.
I woke up. I took a wander through the streets of Paris with an engagement ring in my pocket to fly back home to Toronto. So, yes, we've all had our crazy days.
Right? Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, and the next day after the parade, I flipped on the ball game. And there was Dan Shulman's voice.
Yeah.
I just like, I felt this surge of calm.
Just relax. Hey, there it is. What's going on Twitter?
Oh, look.
Let's get off Twitter. Hey, let's check out.
And you know what my thought was? Mm-hmm. I looked and I thought, oh, who's Freddie Galvis?
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know if I told you. We did, on game day, we did the Coles Notes version. The day after the parade, we brought on the Blue Jays reporter for TSN, Scott Mitchell. And I'm like, so, Scott, what's been going on? And then I brought Kristen Shilton on from the Leafs. I'm like, have they signed Marner? No? Okay. What's been going on? You know, just fill me in.
I got tickets for the Argos game
tomorrow. Yeah, 4 o'clock, BMO.
Yep, I'm taking my dad. I have no idea who's on the team.
Don't worry, you'll find out.
I know, because I'll go there. I can read the backs of their jerseys.
Yeah. By the way, the Argos could be sneaky good on offense. They got a lot of good players.
Ooh, sneaky good. Yeah, you talked about the adjective game earlier. One of my favorite sports adjectives, sneaky good.
Sneaky good.
So going back to the Jays, just real brief.
Yeah.
I have no take on them whatsoever, except that I think now what I want out of life is for the Leafs and the Raptors to drive me like to where my needle is redlining.
Yeah.
And then to jump into a pool of baseball for the summer.
They're methadone. The Blue Jays are methadone.
The methadone clinic.
Yeah, the Blue Jays are the methadone clinic. You know, you got your you know, your cocaine highballs. Am I using that term right? With the Raptors and the Maple Leafs. And then you got the methadone drip that is the Blue Jays. And you know, the Argonauts. You know, the Argonauts are a low alcohol beer or wine, just something to sip on and, you know, enjoy it. Hey, there it is. It'll entertain you. Hell, there was a game last night between Ottawa and Saskatchewan. It was fantastic. There was like 80 plus points.
We might want to jump into basketball here just because I was going to watch last night the CFL just to see what the hell's going on.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but you know what? The NBA draft was on and I love the NBA draft. And man, did you see any of it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. The first four or five guys all crying with their parents.
It was really sweet.
It was really sweet.
Oh, yeah. The Zion Williamson with his mom, RJ and Rowan Barrett. Oh, like seeing RJ crying in his dad's shoulder and then Rowan starting to tear up as well. It was a great moment.
So Zion Williamson is a mountain of a kid.
Yeah.
And he's got the whole world in front of him.
Yep.
He could be the biggest thing in basketball in as quickly as 2 or 3 years in the NBA. But him sobbing, you remember, oh, he's a young kid.
Yeah.
He's barely older than being a boy. Like, he's sobbing on his mom's shoulder.
Yeah.
It was so sweet. And, you know, I think this is probably the reason why I like the draft so much. One is, of course, a lot of things happen that shake up the league. It's one of the first sort of tremor stress points of the offseason. The other thing is that you remember, people work so hard to get to that point. Like, even the ones who suck by NBA standards.
They worked their ass off to get there.
They worked their asses off. Like, when they were talking to the parents, what happened? The common thing was they worked so hard to get here. You see a video of Ja Morant sacrificed in the background.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyone who's got a hockey kid knows this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's the same. If whoever got drafted at 17th, who you'll probably never hear from again, what you don't know is how much the parents sacrificed. Also, the kid doesn't get to live your normal lifestyle of hanging out, drinking, eating burgers late at night, and just being a kid. You are training, working hard, strength coaches, all those sorts of things for that opportunity to get there.
I was never a high-end athlete.
Shut up, Bob.
Yeah, I know it's hard to believe, but true.
Yeah.
But I was a pretty good classical musician, mm-hmm. and I had aspirations of becoming a classical player professionally. And I was in that environment where I saw kids who were really good, mm-hmm. like really, really good,
yeah,
like kicking my ass in, but they were all in.
Yeah.
Like, they were playing 6-8 hours a day. They were not, like, in the summer, you know what they did? They played.
They
you
weren't seeing Jaws for the fourth time.
That's another one of my tweets yesterday.
Yeah.
It was the 1975. Yesterday was the day they released Jaws.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So good. Anyway, the point is, just watching, it's a family victory. It's a community victory. Drafts are awesome.
Yep. I 100% agree. I love drafts. Also, the speculation. It's a great day as a sports fan. You can just turn your brain off and think about how your team can do really well. By the way, think about this with Zion. Kevin Durant, unless he goes to the New York and saves them, it's hard for him to be a hero. LeBron James, been there, done that. All of Golden State, they've done plenty of winning. Giannis, absolutely. Could be Giannis. Kawhi will never have the full celebrity. If Zion is as good as he can be, as you said, Zion could be the face of the NBA in a very short period of time.
There was always questions about who would be the next one.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure after LeBron there is going to be a next one.
To the LeBron level, that's hard.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But Zion,
so many guys are so good at cultivating their brands right now. It may just have to be a shared throne.
Mm-hmm. Well, it ain't like you just, but the guy that all basketball fans can agree that we all love, Zion ticks every box. You know, so.
And he's quite lovable.
And he's incredibly lovable.
He's a very easy guy to root for. Although, yeah. I hope Let's Dance doesn't become a thing. Because yesterday when he was asked, what do you say to the fans in New Orleans? Mm-hmm. And he said, Let's Dance.
Yeah, that really wasn't Bowie and Mick Jagger. That was a shameful. That was a.
Calling out. Have you ever seen the Family Guy thing where they just play the video?
Yes.
Cut to Peter Griffin?
Yeah.
The hell was that?
And then, or one of them going, they did that. That actually happened. That was a thing. And we were all fine with it. No one, a lot of cocaine. That's just a lot of cocaine.
So true. It's not really a good decision-making helper, is it?
No, it really isn't.
I don't know. I've never tried it personally.
Yeah. I've never even seen it. So lame.
I won't try it because I'm pretty sure I will like it.
All right. Let's stop dancing around everything, Bob.
Yeah.
How did it go with your naturopath? Let me guess.
All right. Go for it.
Wait. More dairy. Stop hydrating. And vegetables, but only in moderation. Am I right?
A lot of corn, a lot of potatoes, load up on bread.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird that I had to wake up in the middle of the night to chug milk.
Yeah. Chocolate milk? Okay.
All right. By the way, I love more sugar?
I love the chocolate milk commercials where they say it's the best drink to have after a workout. It's like, wait a minute. I get to drink chocolate milk and everyone else in the commercial drinking, it's got Lululemon pants and they look great. This is awesome.
It's the post-Trump world.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Chocolate milk. Delicious. It's what your bones need. Give your bones what they crave. Chocolate milk. So what happened at the old...
Make milk great again.
Yeah. Make milk great. I like it white. Chocolate milk is okay, but only a little bit. Only some of those chocolate milk. You know the good ones. You know the ones I'm talking about. But not the dark chocolate. More of the light dark chocolate. Put more... Okay, here's what you do. Take the chocolate syrup, but put a lot of white milk in it. Stir it up. Don't get the dark chocolate. Scary. How was the...
I'm going to need a second. You want to do Sea Giant? I'm going to have to pull myself together.
Sea Giant dots. No, I'm not going to do that. I use Sea Giant. I used Sea Giant recently. Bought tickets to see John Mulaney. SeatGiant.ca, Canadian-owned, operated company. They guarantee every ticket. And it's basically, it's in Canadian dollars. They stand by all their concert tickets, sporting event tickets. They're our partner on the show, Canadian partner. You go to SeatGiant.ca. And the best part, discount code Bob and Matt. Use that at checkout. The price for your tickets go down. We get a small slice, which is good because, you know, doing the podcast ain't free. It's not like it's thousands of dollars, but it ain't free. SeatGiant.ca.
Okay. I'm good to go.
Yeah. How's your diet?
It is even more restrictive than the cleanses that I've done in the past. Aww. So no, I'll just go through the list. No dairy, no gluten, no soy, no nightshades, which means no tomatoes, no peppers, no eggplant,
yeah.
No reduced sugar, like way reduced. So I can't even have melon or strawberry.
Yep.
I can't have potatoes. I can't have corn. I can't. She said I could have a little coffee just because she said I don't want your brain crashing because of all the headaches you get when you withdraw from coffee.
Uh-huh.
So I can have a coffee to start the morning, which so far has not been sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think here, anything else? That's pretty much it. I can have all the kohlrabi I want.
What's that?
I don't know. I got to go to a store and find out. I think it's got leaves on it, though.
So it's not from Hershey's
kohlrabi. No, that's right. Kohlrabi pieces.
Yeah, it's not something that Willy Wonka is dancing next to.
So I'm about 3 days in now, about half the size,
yeah,
which is great,
uh-huh. You
know, but not happy about it, which is too bad.
I'll say this. Can't talk about someone else's health, and I hope this works for you. And... you know, all I do is want happiness for everyone who does it. It's weird to me that every single human being basically has the exact same restrictions that you just mentioned. Like when I hear on the Adam Carolla podcast, they've talked about it all the time and about the pros and cons of all of it and the skepticism that's out there, but the science that backs it up. Like they try to be balanced about it, but it's always the same thing. I mean, I think in life, the best thing to do is to try to limit your grain, your sugar, and your alcohol and get a lot of fruits and vegetables. Sometimes the restrictive nature of this one, I'll just say this, it blows me away when I hear it.
Now, this is a hypoallergenic diet. This is simply you stripped it down to the struts so that you start adding foods back in to see how your body will react.
Right.
So at the end of like 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks, I'll probably start eating corn.
Yeah.
To see how my body responds to that.
I bet gluten never gets brought back in.
I don't think it's going to. I have a bad feeling my days with bread might be over. I can still have rice pasta, which is actually okay.
But look at Europe. Look at Europe. And they have the better health and all this. And the bread and the cheese is part of it. Do you think that like, is the human body and Mother Nature, is it lying all throughout Europe?
I don't know, Matt. I don't know. It's a great question. I've wondered this many times.
Yeah.
Here is something interesting for you and I to share.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably going to have to give up scotch
because
scotch is, you know, built out of grains that have gluten in them. So I got to go to wine.
No, but wine has sugar.
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Like, I'm not giving up everything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You know, and you can get, there's tons of.
I'm not a monk.
There's tons of wine with like really low sugar. Like
the Bobby Lama.
With the Bobby Lama.
Instead of the Dalai Lama, you're the Bobby Lama.
You're the Bobby Lama.
So I'm going to need you to help me learn how to drink wine.
Done.
I know nothing.
Done.
And I'm really looking forward to this. Your recommendations have been good. I drank a bottle the day before I started my diet.
Yep.
I liked it.
Nice.
I was sitting there. I was glowing.
Yeah.
I had a lot of very important and fun thoughts to share with everyone.
I got on a Twitter, and then I got on fights, then I got off Twitter.
It was a New Zealand Marlboro.
Yeah, the New Zealand Marlboro Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, it was very tasty.
Yeah.
Amy doesn't like it. She's giving me the.
It's one of her wines she doesn't like. She's not a fan of it.
Yeah.
But then you start there, and then eventually.
Is this an entry level wine?
No, I won't say that because there's a lot of high end, you know, like the people of Cloudy Bay would slap me in the face, rightfully so. You know, no, it's not. It's an easier one because there's a lot more flavor and it's, you know, a lot more fruit often cases. So it is a great entry level one. But no, there's tons of high end Marlboro Sauvignon Blanc.
So if I go to the LCBO, what would be a good I'm off of my diet wine to drink? I would probably need something with like not super tons of sugar.
Yeah. So avoid California altogether.
Okay.
You know, avoid Napa Cab Reds, Merlot Reds, things like that. Stick a lot to Old World. Old World usually has low sugar. And by the way, there's tons of New World that has...
Like Italian?
Yeah, Italy, France. Old World basically means was a world war fought on that land.
What would be something peppery?
Peppery goes Syrah. I would go with a Syrah, a Cote de Rhone, a Syrah from the Rhone region, which is in southern France. That's where I would go. Syrah, Syrah, Syrah.
I like peppery ones because they make me feel like I'm drinking from a goblet.
Yeah, yeah.
I always feel like I should be eating meat from the bone that's just come off the fire, and me and my friends all wearing bear skins are clogging our steins together.
Love it. Then start with, go with a Syrah. Now, the really good peppery stuff are going to cost you a little more. Cote de Rhone, Gugel, $20.
Oh, well, that sounds great. Cote de Rhone. Gugel.
Yeah, Gugel's the producer. Cote de Rhone is the region.
When I listen back to this tonight, I'm going to write it down.
Now, when you want like a special occasion where you want to spend $45, Cor Nas. Cornas. 100% Syrah, and that is a meaty, peppery, lovely, lovely wine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any Raptor stuff you want to share before we wrap up? How long do we have? Probably about 15 minutes?
Yeah, we got we got 10.
10. Okay.
Well, we got 10 minutes.
Talked so much about the Raptors, but we haven't done the parade wrap up.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked all week. So yeah. I don't want to get too much into the parade because everyone's burnt out on it already, but you didn't get to go because you were working.
Yeah.
And were you up in Agent Court?
Yeah, I was up in Agent Court watching it there, listening to Jeff O'Neill get hungrier and hungrier as their live coverage went 2 hours over. And the only food they had was he stole wine gum and Pringles from Lisa LaFlemme and James Duffy's TV set.
Right, because they were down there, I guess?
Yeah, they're all down there.
That's really funny.
It was.
And I was at the parade, but I was on Lakeshore, so it wasn't really quite crazy yet.
Yeah.
We had kids with us.
Yeah.
Friends and I, we brought our kids, so... The most important thing, and parents know this, it's not the event, it's the exit.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be able to get out clean.
Yes.
You know, because when you get stuck, that's when the trouble happens.
Okay, so if exit is number one, shade and hydration, which one is second, which one is third?
I would go shade, probably, although the answer should be hydration. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just a bad parent. Yeah. They're both pretty important.
I know, but you got to...
As a good uncle, you know this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%.
You're the fun uncle. Fun Uncle George bought my daughter her first pair of Doc Martens.
I saw that. Did he swear in front of her like he did on the pod?
No, he's usually pretty good at curbing himself, curbing his enthusiasm when he's...
By the way, that was great. I always love him, George. George can come on whenever he wants.
Yeah, he's good.
He's good.
He's good.
So you had the exit. That's key. The only thing I'll say with the parade, this is not going to shock you. I don't understand how full city works in terms of the mechanics of planning a huge event. And no one could have expected 2 million. No one could have expected that.
Was that the official number?
Yeah. Well, that's why I was hearing on News Talk 1010. But just a simple one to me, the fact that there was no barricades, there's only two options. Either the city was stupid or the city was cheap. And I will not accept a third option.
Yeah, I think it's stupid more than cheap. Mm-hmm. It's weird, though, and this comment's been made many times, and I share this. You had 50 years to plan something. I guess since 93, really. Yeah. So you've had 25 years to plan something. You couldn't have figured out barricades?
Also, Monday night, the Raptors...
Sunday night?
The Raptors won it on Thursday, excuse me. On Thursday night, you saw Young and Dundas Square packed for a couple blocks in every direction. So you had even if you never thought about barricades, on that Thursday night, look at that. That's the city celebrating when the team isn't even here. What is Sunday going to be like? At that point, you should have realized barricades.
I have to relay a conversation with you, and it's going to lead to a question.
Okay.
So this morning, I said I was watching the NBA draft last night to my daughter.
Yep.
And she said, is Kawhi still a Raptor? And I said, he is, but that has nothing to do with the draft. That has free agency. He has the choice whether or not to go. and he'll make that decision. And she looked at me and said, or his agent will. Thought, okay, kid, that's smart. That's pretty hip.
That is smart.
But what it really pointed out to me was that she's emotionally invested in the team. There's an awful lot of kids who are. Her schoolyard was filled with basketballs.
Yeah.
How much of that goes away if Kawhi goes away? You and I are not going to go away from the team. Yeah. You and I are diehards.
It'll definitely go away because kids are front runners. They're horrible sports fans.
Right.
They're front runners. Some of them stick around, but you know what it's going to be like? You know when you're going to throw a party and you know 30% of people are going to flake out.
Right.
Same thing here. It's going to be the same thing here. But
when you send out the Evite and it says yes, no, maybe, and someone says maybe and you put it in the no call.
Oh, yeah. No, maybe. The maybe has never turned into a yes. That's a 0% conversion rate.
Maybe
yes.
Is the coward's best friend.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's like picking a team in seven.
I'm going to try to make it.
Yeah. I'm going to try. And then if I don't, I tried. I'm a hero. the fact that Kawhi Leonard in the last couple days, Niagara Falls, Home Depot, Cactus Club, and he went to a Jays game yesterday. The team's like 11 games under 500. No, 11. They're like way more than that, under 500. And Kawhi Leonard went to a Jays game. Don't most athletes leave the city the moment after the parade? He's still here.
He's probably just kicking some tires because I expect during the year he probably saw very little of Toronto.
Yeah.
I suspect it was condo to practice facility to condo to game. To airport.
Yeah. Especially him. Like, he wasn't a guy, you know, in the Sunday Toronto Star, when they show you the pictures of all the celebrity sightings around town, there was never, oh, here's Kawhi Leonard coming from the entertainment district.
That's right. He took in Sting's new musical.
Yeah, exactly.
He's thumbs up.
He's promoting his new line of vodka. That's not Kawhi.
He might be the most inscrutable of all the stars that I've ever seen. I can't remember a star in any sport, with the possible exception of Mike Trout, that I know less about.
You know who he is?
Hmm.
He's VH1's Behind the Music if they never get beyond the end of the first act.
Explain.
Well, because, you know, in like Rise, you become famous. Then in the second act, things go really shady. You put out bad albums, drinking, drugs, and a bad manager. And then somewhere in the third one, you see the shot of the music board as there's the close-up of the hand moving the volume up or down as the hero bounces back. Kawhi Leonard, all he is the first act of the VH1 Behind the Music. He is the rise, he's the star, and he just stays there.
I still think he's gone.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm just talking about him as a player.
Yeah.
Like, he's so stoic and there's no controversy with him. It's just that's him.
I still think he's gone.
Yeah.
What I'm really enjoying about this is how different he is from the other NBA stars generally.
Oh, yeah.
Who can't tell you enough about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has some mystery to him. This team has been really good for him. They've done a really good job of cultivating his image, almost into a non-image.
Yeah.
But here's the one thing I really enjoy about Kawhi. In life, it is very common for people who are quiet to be assumed with people who don't have thoughts. Just because they're not sharing them. People who are loud in the room, and you've been in a million meetings.
Yeah.
The people who talk tend to be the people who get their way.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of quiet people out there. And there's this assumption that if you don't say something, you don't have anything to offer. And what I love about him is he's clearly a very thoughtful guy.
Yep.
And he understands his life and his reality in a way that probably a lot of guys in the league don't, at least how he communicates it when he does.
Yeah.
So he's like the classic still waters run deep. And it's kind of fun, actually.
Oh, yeah, because it's a novelty. It's different.
It's so different.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. He's got a lot of mystery.
LeBron's a statesman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kawhi is a whole lot of mystery, not a lot of history. That's Kawhi.
Ooh, look at you. Is that a saying?
Let me.
Would you make that up?
No, I've heard that somewhere before. I don't know where. It's been relationships. When you're in a relationship, you don't have to tell your partner all of your past. Sometimes a little more history. And a little more mystery, a little less history.
Did Amy know the story about you walking around Paris with an engagement ring in your purse?
Okay, so
you did get some history there.
Yeah, yeah, she knows that one.
My wife once looked at me and said, "I'm not your friend." And that was like the greatest piece of advice I've ever gotten in a relationship. Like, don't tell me your fucking stories, buddy. Sorry for the F word. We're so close.
We're so close. I swear once earlier.
Like, we're not going drinking, pal.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, she's not high-fiving you as you tell stories of your sexual escapades when you were younger. There will be no high five.
Remember that time when boo. Power down.
We got 2 minutes. Real quick.
Yeah, guy.
It's going to be weird not having Bob McCowan around.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any thoughts? Because I have to admit, I'm biased on this. He insulted my dad on air once because my dad used to be the program director at The Fan. Right. And he was very insulting towards him in following years.
Bleep him. Glad he's gone. Glad Rogers dumped him. You know, greedy. No. That sucks.
You carry it because I have family bias here.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'll just say this is like growing up. One of the things I always listened to, and it wasn't just about Bob, it was about Stephen Brunt. It was about Jim Shakey Hunt. Like, Shakey and McCowan, like, you know, just as a sports nerd in the mid to late 90s, I always loved. So, yeah, weird that I think today might be the last day Bob McCowan. But if he was rude and mean to your dad, bleep him.
I will say that when I first met him, going back to the mid 90s, he was clearly the best. And I would say over the last 5 years, he just seems like a guy who probably should have retired. He's like half the CBC. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who had like high paying contract and was only doing half the work because he was already looking down the road. Like, his show has become so much less interesting than Overdrive, I think. But you know how hard Brian Hayes works.
Yeah.
He works so hard.
Oh, yeah.
He is up on everything. I think McCowan is super intelligent and he is a terrific interviewer. But he's so clearly disinterested with the day-to-day mechanics of sports and sports, the sports fan, that I'm not going to miss it one bit because I stopped listening years ago. Not just because of the dad thing, but also hearing him not really know who's on the Leafs is not interesting when I care about the Leafs.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Mine is more about a thing of nostalgia. Mine is more missing 1996.
Him and Shakey versus, were great together.
Yeah, like that was fun. So this is me more missing 1996 than 2019. Because for me, when I drive home, yeah, I don't usually listen that much. And to me, my favorite bit of radio is Ray Ferraro with Overdrive. That's my favorite 20 minutes of radio in the week.
It's fun. It's informed. It's got insider opinion to it. It's got debate. It is outstanding. And also, Buster Olney on with Landsberg is usually pretty good.
It's great. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, none of this is hot Jags talk, but hey, those guys, they got a long way to go.
Doesn't it make you sad they won't give us a show?
Of course.
You know, like, think about how good that show could be if we did this every day and I was actually paying attention to sports. No, that's not true. You know me, I'm an obsessed, but now I'm a civilian.
Yeah.
It's different because I can't spend the 7 hours a day researching everything.
Yep. No,
I wish I could, but.
Yeah. Now it's me sending the, sometimes I will be sending random emails to my producer. I'm like, oh, I'm doing a Bob here.
It's so funny. You
know,
funny.
Like just the random note at the odd time of day, like or late at night going, you know, I think we should, I was about to do a Lorne Michaels voice.
Right.
Right. I think
it was kind of Lorne Michaels-esque though.
Yeah.
You know, I think we should look at doing something. Yeah,
exactly.
I remember when Aaron Krolnick, who was our producer, handed it over to Lawrence Dushinsky, who took over for him.
Yeah.
His only bit of advice to him was, Bob's going to email you every Saturday morning with a ton of ideas.
Bob, that's it for us. I'd like to think of some sort of clever thing, but I'm done. I'm done on my clever.
All right, well, let's just wrap this up with you think Kawhi's back or not?
No, but I think it's really close.
I would agree with that. I think that if it was like 80-20 or 90-10 before, it's probably
60-40, 55-45.
Exactly
in that range.
Right. Yeah. But in the end,
yeah.
It's been a great run.
It's been a hell of a run.
Now I just need some baseball.
Bye, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.